Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 1st. This past January, a chance encounter between two hunters turned deadly in northeastern Wisconsin. Cha Vang, a Hmong refugee, and Peshtigo native James Nichols were both hunting in the Peshtigo Harbor Wildlife Reserve. Exactly what happened between the two is unclear, but in the end, Cha Vang was found shot and stabbed multiple times. Nichols says he killed Vang out of self-defense. Nichols told authorities Vang shouted, "I'm going to kill you," but relatives say Vang didn't speak English. The Hmong community says this was a hate crime and should be prosecuted this way. But the prosecutor said, for strategic considerations, without explaining further, he did not charge Nichols with a hate crime. This hour we'll discuss what is a hate crime and how do you prove it, and was this one? Our first guest this morning is from the Hmong community, and he'll explain why the Hmong community is disappointed that Nichols was not charged with a hate crime enhancer. And after 6:30, we will talk with a law professor about hate crimes in Wisconsin and why hate crime prosecutions are rare in this state. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions along the way at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or you can send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our first guest this morning is Peter Yang, Executive Director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joyce. Good to be with you.
Yes, thanks a lot for being with us. So you and many in the Hmong community believe that Nichols should have been charged with a hate crime.
Well, based on the information that the law enforcement and the DA reported, the crime that was committed and seemed to indicate that was racially motivated. So that's what, you know, we believe he should be charged, you know, for his action, which should include hate crime.
Yeah. And what is it about the case that makes you believe it was racially motivated?
Well, just the fact that what you just said, Mr. Vang, Mr. Cha Vang, we believe he knew almost no English, and he's a new refugee. You know, he would not approach or try to approach anybody and try to start an argument. And also the fact that he was shot and stabbed six times, and also a wooden stick was found protruding from his mouth, you know. Those seem to indicate that Mr. Nichols shot Mr. Vang just simply because, you know, he was different. So we felt it was racially motivated.
Yeah. And you also believe that Nichols was reacting to the murder of white hunters by a Hmong hunter some years ago?
We're not sure. I guess it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to say, but we believe this case is not about hunting. It's about Mr. Vang being Hmong. And he was out there hunting. He has a legal hunting license and everything, but he was killed just because he was a Hmong person.
Nichols also reportedly told authorities, or at least one investigator, that, quote, Hmong people are bad, are mean, and kill everything.
That's right. I mean, it's also the other piece of information that we believe for whatever reason, Mr. Nichols, you know, disliked the Hmong, or he had a different impression about the Hmong people.
Yeah. Now, a hate crime enhancer, as you mentioned, a hate crime is when the crime was racially motivated. A hate crime enhancer, if found guilty of this, 5 years is added to a sentence of someone convicted for a crime. Now, Nichols, if he's found guilty of first-degree murder, he's got life imprisonment anyway. You don't think that that's enough?
That may very well be enough, but I think the fact that because it was racially motivated, and law enforcement people, I mean, especially the DA office is going to prosecute this case, you know, should take into consideration all the available resources and, you know, law that, you know, he has, including hate crime, because, you know, we can't just allow people to go without charge, you know, for on hate crime if they actually committed hate crime. And, you know, Wisconsin doesn't have law to make sure that, you know, hate crime is charged if that is the case. And so that's why we believe it should be added to the charge that was already made initially.
We are talking with Peter Yang, Executive Director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association, talking about the killing of a Hmong hunter in northeastern Wisconsin earlier this year by a white hunter. And those who believe, many in the Hmong community believe, that this was a racially motivated killing and that the accused killer should be charged with a hate crime, but he wasn't. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May the 1st. Hoping you'll stay tuned. At Issue with Ben Marins comes your way between 4 and 6 this afternoon. And Ben and his guests will talk about current issues of the day. We are talking about hate crimes in Wisconsin and the lack of hate crime prosecutions in Wisconsin. A story, an Associated Press story that was in newspapers yesterday, examined how hate crime prosecutions are rare and how many in the Hmong community are asking for, saying that a white hunter who is accused of killing a Hmong hunter in northeastern Wisconsin this past January should be charged with a hate crime. It was an encounter between the two in the Peshtigo Harbor Wildlife Reserve. Peshtigo native James Nichols is accused of shooting and stabbing Cha Vang, a Hmong refugee. Nichols told authorities that Vang shouted, "I'm going to kill you," saying that his killing was in self-defense, but the relatives say Vang did not speak English. Nichols also reportedly told authorities that Hmong people are bad, that Hmong people are mean and kill everything, but Nichols was charged with first-degree murder and not with a hate crime enhancer. And many in the Hmong community are wondering why. In fact, the nation's self-described Hmong newspaper, Hmong Today, is asking for this hate crime enhancer to be added to the charges. We wonder what you think and what questions you have about this. Should this hunter be charged not only with first-degree murder, but with a hate crime enhancer? Was this crime racially motivated, and should this additional charge be added to? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at wpr.org. Coming up after 6:30, we will be welcoming in a law professor who will tell us why hate crimes are hard to prosecute and are rarely prosecuted, and will wonder why Wisconsin's prosecution rate is less than some neighboring states as well. Right now, we're talking with Peter Yang, the executive director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And I'm wondering, Peter Yang, if the Hmong community is doing anything in particular to try to get this hate crime enhancer added to the charges against Nichols.
Well, we have done it, Joy, when the hunting incident first took place. We have tried to communicate with the DA office as well as the Attorney General's office to encourage or ask them to include hate crime as part of the charges. And of course, you know, with no information on our hand as far as what the evidences were at the time, we could not do anything other than to ask them to include hate crime as part of the charges. We were hoping that that was going to be added. Unfortunately, they have decided not to, and so right now, we're hoping that they will make sure that justice is served for Mr. Nichols for what he did. When it's time to select a jury, we hope that they would, the DA office and the Attorney General office would make sure that there's a diverse representation of people in the jury to make sure that there's fair and equal justice, you know, for this case.
Yeah. Wisconsin reported 46 hate crime incidents in 2005, according to this Associated Press story that examined this particular case and hate crime prosecutions in Wisconsin in general. And that is far fewer than neighboring states, Michigan 640, Minnesota 206, 168 in Illinois. What does that tell you? Does that concern you that Wisconsin isn't prosecuting hate crimes like neighboring states are?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I read that article. I mean, obviously there must be more hate crime cases reported, but what Wisconsin law enforcement people or the Attorney General's office decide to do may be different. Maybe they did not prosecute as many hate crimes as they should. And so it's certainly a question that I have when I saw that piece of information.
Yeah, the Marinette County District Attorney, again, according to this article, said that strategic considerations led to the decision not to charge Nichols with a hate crime, but he would not elaborate on that, but said, "I can certainly understand why various community groups would call for its use." Apparently, he doesn't think he can prove it.
Well, I mean, what are we sending? What kind of message are we sending to people out there who are thinking or having similar motives like Mr. Nichols when there's hate crime involved and we don't want to include that as part of the charges, you know? And so we believe very strongly that if hate crime, in fact, is determined to be a product the causes for Mr. Nichols to kill Mr. Vang, then that should be included. I think, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, Wisconsin residents continue to enjoy, you know, living here, and people who may have motive against other racial or ethnic group of people, they should think twice, you know, before they commit a crime like this.
Yeah. So even if it is difficult to prove, charge the defendant anyway in a case like this, and let the jury decide.
Yes, because that seems to indicate that there's some hate crime involved, and so yes, I would agree that they should edit that piece into the charges and let the jury decide. I mean, if he's committed first-degree murder and the hate crime piece is not part of it, then that's fine, too. But, you know, we'd like that to be a part of the charges.
Yeah. You can see how it might be difficult to prove, even though Nichols reportedly said general statements like Hmong people are bad, that it would be difficult to prove that the crime happened because of the racial hatred?
Well, I mean, what Ms. Nichols already told us, he may even told the jury and the prosecutor more if asked. So, you know, if they put hate crime as part of the charges and asked him to see if, you know, that was in fact the reason why he killed Mr. Vang. He may even tell them that that was the case.
Yeah, but he's saying that it was self-defense.
Nobody can tell whether or not it's self-defense, but you know, from the actions that he took, what he did to Mr. Vang did not indicate that it was self-defense.
Yeah. So the the nature that you believe it's important to send the message, and it would be a symbolic message for that matter, that the state won't tolerate racially motivated crime by charging.
Yes, I think that's one of the reasons behind what we would like to, you know, make sure that hate crime is part of the charges. The other reason is that, you know, we have a very large Hmong population who are hunters out there every year. You know, we're concerned about the livelihood of these individuals, you know, and should we encourage people to stop going hunting, or should we encourage people to go hunting as usual? Because of issues such as this one, unless we can address this type of issue, I'm more aiming toward, you know, telling people that maybe it's better for them not to go hunting.
Well, Peter Yang, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joy.
Peter Yang, Executive Director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association, talking with us about why the Hmong community, many in the Hmong community anyway, believe that a hate crime enhancer should have been added to the first-degree murder charge levied against James Nichols, the Peshtigo hunter accused of killing a Hmong refugee hunter, Cha Vang, last January. We will welcome in another guest after the news, after 6:30. An associate professor of law at UW-Madison, the director of the Prosecution Project, who will tell us why hate crime prosecutions are somewhat rare in Wisconsin, why they are difficult to prove, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions about this. Coming up after this check of the latest news, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, May the 1st. And we are talking about hate crimes in Wisconsin and in general. Reacting to an Associated Press article yesterday showing that the Wisconsin murder of a Hmong hunter in the Peshtigo area earlier this year, how that shows hate crime prosecutions are pretty rare in this state. The Hmong community disappointed that the white hunter accused in the murder of Cha Vang, a Hmong immigrant from Green Bay, how the Hmong community is disappointed that the hunter who was charged with Cha Vang's murder was not charged with a hate crime or a hate crime enhancer. We will talk about what exactly a hate crime is and why there are comparably fewer hate crime charges in Wisconsin than other states in the area, and welcome your questions and comments for our guest, who is a professor of law at UW-Madison. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. In our first half hour, we heard from Peter Yang, the executive director of the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association, telling us why the Hmong community is disappointed that James Nichols was not charged with a hate crime. And in this half hour, we will hear from Ben Kempinen, associate clinical professor of law at UW-Madison, where he also directs the prosecution project. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, what exactly is a hate crime? What is the definition of a hate crime?
Well, let me say to begin that basically the task of deciding what behaviors would be defined as criminal is certainly the business of the states. And so I believe more than 45 states have some variation of a hate crime, and the precise definitions of that would be determined individually by the states.
Mm-hmm.
That said, in Wisconsin, in 1988, we created and had effective what's known as a hate crime enhancer. And what that means is that that is not a standalone crime, if you will, but rather mm-hmm. if somebody commits a different type of offense, either a crime against the person or a crime against property, if the elements of the Wisconsin hate crime enhancer would fit, it could be an add-on. And it would, practically speaking, require one more element to be proven by the prosecution beyond a reasonable doubt. And if so, it would increase the penalty. For example, if the penalty for the underlying offense was a misdemeanor, the penalty would increase from 9 months up to 2 years. If the underlying crime was a felony, whatever the penalty prescribed for that offense would be increased by 5 years. Wisconsin's definition requires that the prosecution prove that the person selected to be the victim of the crime or the property selected was selected in whole or part because of the defendant's belief that the person was a member of a particular race, religion, color, sexual orientation, national origin, ancestry, or had a particular disability. That would be alleged have to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt by the jury.
In Wisconsin, I was reminded by this article, was a pioneer, excuse me, in this particular area of law. The hate crime enhancer went to the Supreme Court, didn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, initially, if my history is correct, a former local state legislator, David Clarenbach, was basically one of the motivating forces behind this enactment. When it was first enacted and charged in a case, I believe, out of Racine County, the validity of the statute went up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and the court, our Supreme Court, concluded in a case called State versus Mitchell that because the statute was defined in such a way that it basically punished, in the court's view, speech, that it violated the Constitution. The U.S. Supreme Court accepted review of that case and reversed our state Supreme Court and concluded that it was an appropriate legislative act, and that basically it wasn't punishing speech, but in fact the action of committing the crime with the motivations often proven by speech as a sort of an aggregating factor.
Yeah. But it is difficult to prove. It's difficult to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a certain crime was motivated whole or in part by someone's race or other factors.
Well, you know, I think it would be fair to say that whenever one speaks to proving a subjective state of mind, whether it's an element of the underlying crime, for example, that someone acted intentionally, or in this situation that somebody selected a particular person or property because of their belief of a pre-existing status, race, or religion, etc., that requires us to basically, or requires a prosecutor to prove what was in that person's mind at the time they committed the act. And that is often very difficult. It may be helpful to sort of consider how are those things generally proven. And most of the time, we would prove somebody's intent by looking at the consequences of their acts and assume, draw the inference that most people act purposefully, therefore they intended to do that. But of course, in a homicide, that would often lead to a conclusion that they intended to cause the person's death. The additional question that the hate crime enhancer requires is, what was their underlying motivation? And in some particular instances, it might be a verbal statement contemporaneous with the act that indicates that a particular individual was selected. In other cases, it may be membership in a particular type of hate group, etc., or prior acts that would, you know, suggest a certain animus. There is, in some decisions involving a similar statute, the notion that just simply bigotry alone of a general nature or animus towards a particular group is not alone sufficient to prove that a particular individual was selected on this basis. And this is often the sort of challenge or difficulty that's faced by a prosecutor asking himself or herself, faced with what facts the police present to them, can I actually prove this fact beyond a reasonable doubt?
Yeah, you almost generally need a witness who heard the defendant saying, I hate X group, as he or she commits a crime against a person that's a member of that group.
We know exactly. And some experienced more prosecutors have even suggested more than just I have a general dislike for this group. I have a general dislike for this group, and I believe, you know, it manifested by my dislike for this individual who I perceive as being part of that group. You know, I might also add that one of the things that often is a factor is sort of prosecutors will consider, you know, sort of what do I believe is an appropriate punishment for the underlying behaviors. And what's available. And, for example, in the Nichols case, and I would admit that I'm not as aware of the details as certainly the people intimately involved in it, but he already is facing a total of, I think, a possible exposure of life plus 39 years.
Because of other additional charges
exactly,
besides first-degree murder.
Exactly. Yeah. And, in fact, he is also he has been charged with a couple of other enhancements, but ones that perhaps by contrast are much more easily proven. For example, he's charged with as a repeat offender, which requires proof that he was previously convicted of certain crimes. And, of course, that, unlike proving a subjective mental state, is simply proven by presenting proof that he was in court and convicted of a crime in a previous date. He is also being charged as having committed his crimes with a dangerous weapon, which also lends itself to being proven by sort of external evidence without, you know, subjective intent. That is, he used a firearm allegedly in the course of committing it. And with those enhancers, he is now facing, I believe, life plus 39 years.
Yeah, but even so, the Hmong community says that additional 5 years that a hate crime enhancer would add maybe isn't so important as the message that it sends, that this type of racially motivated crime will not be tolerated by the state of Wisconsin.
You know, and I'm certainly mindful of that, and I realize that quite often individual decisions that that our public officials make are perceived as having, you know, perhaps a certain symbolic effect, and yet at the same time, I guess I would be reluctant to say that, without knowing more of the details, that the failure to allege something in a particular case would suggest tolerance for behavior, or by that matter, in some cases, an act charging something would suggest something else. I understand that perception, and again, I would be surprised if that wasn't part of the calculus of decision-making by the prosecution team in this case. But often the decisions, you know, again, are made for reasons that we often perhaps wish to read more into them than perhaps is there.
We're talking with Ben Kempinen, an associate clinical professor of law at UW-Madison, talking about hate crime enhancers and the Hmong community in Wisconsin and elsewhere upset that a white hunter was not charged with a hate crime enhancer for the murder of a Hmong hunter. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7. It was 4 years ago today that President Bush said that major combat operations in Iraq were over. The so-called mission accomplished speech. We'll talk about what really needs to happen before the mission is accomplished in Iraq coming up after 7 o'clock. We are talking with a law professor at UW-Madison, Ben Kempinen, about hate crime charges or prosecutions in Wisconsin, based on, in part, some in the Hmong community saying that the killing of a Hmong hunter in northeastern Wisconsin earlier this year was racially motivated, and that the alleged killer should be charged with a hate crime enhancer, but he wasn't. And we are examining what a hate crime enhancer is and why hate crime prosecutions are difficult to prove. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Even the district attorney in Marinette County, Professor Kempinen, says that I can certainly understand why various community groups would call for its use. Lots of reports that this James Nichols told authorities that Hmong people are bad, that Hmong people are mean and kill everything, that he told authorities that that Vang was shouting to him, "I'm going to kill you," saying this was self-defense, but Vang didn't even speak English. But he says he didn't... He didn't charge him because for strategic considerations and wouldn't go further. Does strategic considerations say to you, "I just can't prove it"?
Well, again, you know, I would be reluctant. I'm confident that the attorneys involved in this case are more aware of the various factual nuances, what information is available. But I would say... you know, one, and just knowing what information is available to the public, and I think that you alluded to the fact that the police apparently, in interrogating Nichols, did have him say that, you know, a couple of things that were sort of generally suggested animus towards this group. There's also an allegation in the criminal complaint, which is publicly available, that the manner in which the victim's body was found suggested, and the manner of death in terms of multiple stab wounds and whatnot, at least was a fact that perhaps was relevant to that. You know, one thing I can say, I think the number one strategic reason why prosecutors often don't charge something is if they don't feel they can prove it. Basically, you know, the rules of evidence provide somewhat of a filter, if you will. There's oftentimes things that lawyers believe happened, but a distinct question is, what can I prove in court given the rules of evidence, available witnesses? I suppose another way to ask the question would be, to yourself or other listeners, if you were to be on a jury and heard those statements of Mr. Nichols and heard the circumstances surrounding the manner in which he was killed, would that convince you beyond a reasonable doubt that he was selected in whole or part because of his ethnicity? One other thing that I think complicates thing is when the operative verb in the statute being selected a victim almost suggests a certain almost stalking dynamic, that is, we're looking for somebody. As I understand this case, there was somewhat of a chance meeting, if you will, between the two parties, which wouldn't necessarily be dispositive, but one of the factors. I could also say that Wisconsin, just as a maybe broad comment, in the last 25 years, we have essentially doubled the number of crimes we have in our statutes. I don't think we've doubled the ways in which people can hurt each other or each other's property, but the point being that a particular instance of conduct presents a broader range of opportunities to the prosecutor, and it's more often than not a prosecutor will select only those most serious charges among the options they have, simply believing that that is an adequate balance of the need to hold the defendant accountable versus using limited resources. Now, that said, I would not say that the facts here would not make it at least possible to have charged it. There certainly isn't a complete absence of facts. And again, to the exact reason, I think we will have to wait and find out. You know, one thing I might also mention, and I think an issue of relevance to all of us members of the public in terms of what accountability do our public officials have to us. And we have seen in the past couple of decades a greater sensitivity to the rights, if you will, of victims. That is, can a victim of a crime have an audience with a prosecutor to say, you know, how are you going to approach this case? What do you perceive as provable? I'd like to at least share my thoughts. And in a case like this, our statutes define a victim as being either a member of the victim's family or someone that resided with the victim, or I believe also a guardian. And the statutes require the prosecutor to provide a personal audience with someone that has the status of a victim as we defined it, and I'm assuming explain to them why they charged that they did, as they did, what they would perceive to get out of the case. And so I would imagine that Vang's family, if they chose to take advantage of this opportunity, would have an opportunity to sit down with the prosecutor and have a better understanding of how they perceive the case. And hopefully the prosecutor would benefit by understanding the unique perspective of the family so affected by a tragedy like this. Now, as to other members of the public, certainly there's the right to petition or send a letter or ask for an audience with the DA, but the DA there would have discretion as to whether they would choose to meet with them.
We had a caller who just dropped off, but another emailer, an email, asked, I think, a similar question as to what the caller was going to ask. Rosalyn in Unity, I guess in general, I'll paraphrase the email. Why wasn't the Hmong man who was convicted in killing hunters near Rice Lake, five or six hunters, why wasn't he charged with a hate crime?
Well, and I have somewhat of a recollection and understanding of that case. I think that the short answer to it is that the facts didn't suggest that the race or ethnicity of the victims in that case had anything to do with what happened and whatnot. So I would imagine that the prosecutor is there. And I might add, one thing that's common in Wisconsin is that if a prosecutor in a small community is overwhelmed by one large case, or if they feel that the public would be better served by having a more experienced prosecution team, the Department of Justice has a number of very experienced prosecutors that will often help at the local level. Yeah. And some of the prosecutors that were involved in the case in northwestern Wisconsin are the very same prosecutors involved in the current Nichols case.
Yeah, let me, before we run out of time, also ask you to comment on these statistics that show Wisconsin reported 46 hate crime incidents in 2005, far fewer than Michigan with 640, Minnesota 206, 168 in Illinois, nationwide Louisiana only 3, Mississippi 0. I know the law varies from state to state, but that does seem kind of odd, doesn't it, that Wisconsin had so many fewer prosecutions than neighboring states?
One, as far as the instance of behavior that would show perhaps a dark side of the human condition, I would suspect that there would be something that would roughly be similar in terms of statistically from state to state. That said, without knowing, for example, if charges were initially issued and used as a bargaining tool and dismissed, or variations in the manner in which the statutes are defined and whatnot, without knowing more, I think it would be speculative. One thing I would say with confidence is that it does not, and having had an opportunity to work with people, judges and prosecutors in the system, and legislators over the years, I think one inference I wouldn't draw is that there isn't a concern or sensitivity to this issue. So I think that would be one inference that would be an unfair one to draw. But beyond that, it's hard to say.
Right. And we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Ben Kempinen, Associate Clinical Professor of Law at UW-Madison, where he also directs the Prosecution Project. Thanks to Leo Duran and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.